هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا، الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا، ورسول الله معلمنا.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه وصفيه وحافظ سره ومبلغ رسالاته وعلى آله وصحبه. Dear brothers and sisters, if you can remember, we were discussing that how the society that we are living in, it has come into existence. And I meant the system of values that we follow in our today's life. Has it been an accident that these values, that we are after money, we are after luxury, we are after enjoying life, was it an accident that these values came into existence, or no, there was a group of people who planned this society and they tried to implement this system and they removed the previous system which was related to God or to Allah or what we can call the divine system of values, the values which were revealed to us through Allah's prophets. Allah revealed to them and they transferred Allah's message to the mankind. They told the mankind that this life is not permanent and you are only here for a few days, for a few months, for a few years, and then you have to go back to your Lord and He will ask from you everything you did, from where you earned and where did you spend what you had earned, and all other things which we perform in our lives. If you remember, when I told you about the Renaissance or the Industrial Revolution which occurred in the European countries, and it marked the beginning of a very big change in the human life all over the world, not only in Europe, but all over the world, this change started to occur. When this happened, I told you that three main things became the requirement. Number one, in order to run their industries, they needed energy. So a war to control energies started in this world, and it continues till today. Secondly, in order to run those industries, to run those machines, to maintain them, they needed trained labor. So they developed a new education system. And thirdly, they needed people to buy whatever their industries were producing, in order to keep them running. And if you can remember, I told you an example quoted by a great scholar, Shaheed Murtaza Mutahri, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, the story of the fisherman and the genie. So what we like to discuss today is, as I pointed out in the previous lecture, that they changed the whole education system and they changed the importance of different subjects, of different sciences. How it happened and why did it happen? I'll give you an example of philosophy. Before this modernism or before this industrial revolution, the science of philosophy was considered the mother of all other subjects and all other sciences. What does philosophy do? It asks man to to think about himself. It asks man to think about his surroundings, about this universe, about all the things which he sees, which he can feel, or which he cannot feel with his five senses, using his intellect. This is what philosophy tells man. Now these people who were controlling this new change, the society which they were planning, the system which they were planning for the mankind, and I'll say to make them slaves in a new method, in a new fashion, so that they become slaves. They are slaves, but they don't know that they are slaves. Previously, the slave used to know that who is his master. But this new society, its planners, they wanted to make the humankind their slaves, but they did not want them to understand that they are slaves. So they did not want them to think about from where they have come, where they are living right now, and where they have to go. So in order to achieve that, they had to put the science which makes man think about himself, everything which makes man think about himself and this universe and the reality, they started to decrease its importance, to throw it downwards to lower levels, so that people do not study those sciences. And to do this, what they did was they used money. They increased the wages or the payments for those sciences which will benefit their plans, which will, for example, the sciences which will keep their machines running, which will produce their trained labor, they increase the wages. Now if you study, for example, if you study some engineering, or if you study, for example, some business thing, marketing, you'll get a very big pay. But what if you want to study human sciences? What if you want to study philosophy, especially in our developing countries? All the intelligent people, all the working and bright brains, this system sucks them at their service. They become engineers. What is an engineer? Just a trained labor of a higher level and nothing else. What does an engineer do? What is his duty? Just to look after the machines, just to keep them running, just to maintain them. What does a person do who has studied marketing? He plans, he sorts out different ways how he can sell the product of the firm he is working in. So the society began to change, and to this day that me and you are living in this world, the whole system has changed. What religion, what Allah wanted from us, we are not after that anymore. We are after the same values that this new modern, so-called modern system has prescribed for us. We are after luxury, we are after money. Suppose if you ask someone that why are you working? He will say, I'm working, I'll work for a few years, I'll work hard so that in the coming years I can lead a luxurious life. I can have a very luxurious house, a new model car, and all the other facilities which you can see in the media, which tells you to buy this, to buy that, to leave your old things, which tells you in fact, which forces you to buy every new model which is coming in the market. Let me ask you a question. These big multinational companies, they are producing, every year they are producing new models to their products. The question is, which I like you to answer, which I like you to think, that if their products, if their new models, suppose for 2014, if their new models are not sold, what will happen, what is going to happen to these industries, these firms, these multinational companies? You imagine in your mind, you bring the name of some big car maker in your mind, and you suppose that for 2014, none of their cars is sold. What is going to happen to them? Recall the story of the genie and the fisherman. They are going to become bankrupt. They won't have the money to pay to their workers. So they will become bankrupt. So in order to keep this industry running, they are forced to plan for it. They spend millions of dollars just to make me and you buy their products. So I think I have been able to make this point clear to you. Let's discuss another point. When man started moving itself away from God and started depending more on human intellect, there were some results. And one of those results was that slowly and gradually man became convinced that there is only one being that has sense or consciousness, and that is the human being, the man. And everything else in this universe, everything else which we can call nature, our surroundings, these trees, clouds, skies, birds, everything other than man is senseless. It cannot sense. It does not have consciousness. So man must use everything. He must bring everything to his service. Not only the energies, but all the nature should be at man's service. And when he gets control over them, he can use them in whatever way he likes. And there is no other power which can make the laws that how you can use the things which are under your control. What rights do you have towards them, and what duties do you have towards them? Nothing. You can use them in whatever way you like, and there is no one who is going to ask you. You know, that is why these people who are controlling this change, they have accumulated most of the wealth of this world in their hands, in their bank accounts, in their companies. Some people have become filthy rich, while others don't have even enough food to eat. Let's come to the Quran. What does the Quran tell us about this universe, about this nature? Does it have sense, or it is senseless? Does it have consciousness, or it is without consciousness? Let me quote a sentence from a scientist, if I remember his name, is an American scientist, Robert Lanza. In one of his articles, he says that there is nothing in the modern physics which can explain how a group of molecules in your mind creates consciousness. The deliciousness of a food, the happiness you feel, the feeling of love and affection, for example, for your father, for your mother, for your brother. Where does it come from? Modern science has got no answer to these questions. And he says that in fact they are related to how this universe was created. And these are the secrets at par with the origins of this universe. Let's come to the Quran. How does the Quran introduce nature to us? Let me recite a verse from the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرَضِينُ السَّبْعُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. It is Surah Bani Israel, or the other name is Surah Isra. Verse number 44. I have recited the verse. Here's the translation. The seven heavens and the earth and all beings therein declare His glory. Means everything praises Him. There is not a thing but celebrates His praise. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. And yet you do not understand how they declare His glory. You do not understand. But they are declaring His glory, the glory of their Creator. Now the question is, if I ask from you, how this glory, the declarance of this glory from all this nature around you, how you can imagine it? First of all, who is the one who praises something? Where does this praise come from? Suppose you look at something and you are impressed with its beauty. You praise it. So what does it mean? That you came to know something and you got a feeling about it, and that feeling was good, so you started praising that thing. Now look at the Quran. Come back to the Quran. The Quran is saying that everything, every particle of this nature, these seven heavens, all the creation, all the nature, it is declaring Allah's glory. What does the Quran want to tell us? That don't think that only you humans have consciousness. Every particle of this universe has consciousness. He understands who is his creator. They understand who is their sustainer. So they are all the times, they are praising Him, they are declaring His glory. In fact, they are better than you. You forget your Lord, but they don't forget Him. What's the other message hidden for this modern society in which we are living? Allah wants to say that don't think that these things around you are without consciousness and you can use them in whatever way you decide, in whatever way you like, for your luxury, for your enjoyment. No. They have consciousness. They are praising their Lord. They are declaring His glory. So they don't like them. They don't like you to use them in the way you like. In fact, they love to be used in the way their Creator likes. So don't use them in a way which makes their Creator angry. Because one day you are going to return to their Creator and He is going to ask you, and these particles, this nature is going to be a witness against you. You see what a beautiful picture Quran gives to us about this universe, about this nature scattered around us. Now look at the society we are living in. Have we ever considered these things as slaves of God? If we look to the things around us, each and everything around us, that it belongs to Allah and it is declaring Allah's glory, we will develop a sense of responsibility not to use everything in every way we like. In fact, we should use it in a way permitted by their Creator. Let's move forward to give you another example. All of you have recited Surah Zilzal. What does it say? Let me open the book, open the Quran. So this is the other example. When the earth إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth is shaken to her utmost convulsion, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, and the earth throws up her burdens from within, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا, and the man cries, distressed, what is the matter with her? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, on that day she will declare her tidings. She will declare all the news she has inside her. How this will happen? Because Allah is telling that this earth has sense. When this camera in front of me can record what I am saying, why can't these walls, this cloth, this table, whatever around you, why it is you think it is impossible that these things cannot record things inside them, keep them inside them? And when their Creator asks them to reproduce those things, they will be witness against us, for us or against us. That how did we use them? What attitude we had towards them on the day of judgment? Like Allah says in Surah Yasin, Al-Yawma Nakhtimu Ala Afwahihim, on this day we are going to seal their mouths, their tongues won't speak. Wa Tukallimuna Aydihim, and their hands will talk to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their feet will bear witness. This is the view the Quran gives us about this universe. Don't think that something which you have got hold of, it is yours. No. The actual master is Allah. And when you return to Him, He is going to ask you that how did you use the things which actually belong to me? It was a satanic deception. It was the shaitan who told you that now this belongs to you. Do whatever you want to do with it. It was a deception. Today is the day that you will come to understand. It was a deception. Now you have to answer. Now you are responsible. You will be held responsible. All these things were my slaves. They were my creation. They had consciousness. But you used to think that only you are the one with consciousness. Only you can sense things. Today you'll come to know that everything had sense and everything in this universe used to praise Allah, used to declare His glory. My dear brothers and sisters, I don't know what has made we not to study the Quran, not to think deeply in its verses. Why can't we sit in our house for 15 or 20 minutes with our children, with our relatives, with our friends? Every gathering that we have, when we come around each other, sit around each other, and we discuss everything else, all different topics surrounding us, we discuss. Why can't we discuss for some minutes the verses of the Quran, so that they take us to the level where our Creator wants to see us? Why we are following the things which are being ordered from the people who don't believe in God, while we have the Quran, while we have the sayings, the teachings of the Prophet, while we have the teachings of his family, of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, of Imam Hassan, of Imam Hussein, and all the 12 Imams. What has made us to follow others and leave these personalities who are the best of Allah's creation? So let us pray to Allah that He gives us the tawfiq, first of all to think, and then to decide, and then try to change, first of all ourselves, and then this society. That is what Allah expects from us, and He's waiting for us to start doing this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.